The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeart Radio, YouTube TV. So many ways to take us in. Guess what? We don't care which way you do. We just appreciate that you do. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Bidlin, producer number 9. So much more than a producer. So much more.
So much more.
What's happening, man? You good?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I am fabuloso. On the show today, we didn't have Drew Dinsick in his normal Tuesday spot yesterday, so he is with us today.
Travel day for Drew.
We'll let him travel day. Where was he going?
I have no idea.
His day job.
Oh, good point. Maybe we get Drew in the nature today. I don't know.
Oh, that's true. We could get him in the nature.
Yeah.
In nature. We have had him in all kinds of
we really have
natural habitats. You name it, he's been there.
Yeah, the last time was like on a work site location, right?
Mountains, work site, beaches.
In the middle of California.
And leads a good life. We'll let him take a victory lap for his Olympics, and then we'll get his thoughts on the NFL and tennis, which I have my picks coming up here momentarily. Will Hill with all his plays, MLB and more. And then Steve Fezzik again? What? Did we book him 2 weeks in a row? Don't tell Patrick and Dustin. We're just borrowing him.
Just borrowing him.
But we have lots of stuff to talk with Fezzik about. He will be here on the desk at the D here at Bar Canada. So looking forward to that. Fezzik in the house a little later on. Kelly will talk FedEx St. Jude Championship, the first of the 3 FedEx tournaments. 70 golfers qualifying for the FedEx St. Jude. So we'll get into that as well. I do want to start where I start every day here on a numbers game when the tennis tours are in North America. Yesterday, gave out 5 plays. We went 3-2. That included a plus 187 winner and a plus 165 winner on Ashlyn Kruger and Jordan Thompson, respectively. So again, Kelly, I say as my New Year's resolution, please remind me. We're now up 40. Let me get this right. 42, more than 42 units. Do I have that right? Yes. More than 42 units on hard courts this year. And since the Olympics started, which is clay, so throw that in, over 16 units. So again, I just ask you, please tell me not to bet grass next year.
You got it.
Because most of that went back in grass.
Well, same thing, because I'm on a couple years streak with the NBA. When the playoffs start,
yes.
Just like take my phone away.
Talk about betting leaks. That has become my betting leak. 3 today, and ladies and gentlemen, as a preview to what we will do during the United States Open, I ask my friend Kelly Bidlin if he would please pronounce the tennis plays for today.
Oh, man. See, this is where you guys think you're tricky. You think you can get me, but Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova.
Nice.
No problem. Okay. Beatrice Haddad-Maia. See, I don't even need the full B spell.
Okay, but let's give the prices, too. So Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, -141. If you're a VSiN subscriber, you get these last night. VSiN.com/picks. Every host, every guest, every sport. She's about -146 now. She's a little worse off. I wouldn't let it get any higher than that.
All right. And then we got Xinyu Wang, plus 178 over Ludmila Samsonova.
I think we go Wang Xinyu, and I think we go Samsonova.
Sure. Okay. Yeah.
By absolutely. The way, you could still play her. I got a plus 178. She's still up there in price. Not quite as high, but up there.
All right. And then I'm not going to go long A here. I think this is a Fabian Morozan. This one I don't know these two dudes at all. Fabian Morozan over Corentin Moutet.
Fabian Morozan, Corentin Moutet.
I was pretty close.
Quarantine.
I'm gonna give myself a pass on that one.
Fabian Morozan is Hungarian.
I got that part right though. No, a Fabian. He's not a Fabian.
You did, but you went Morozan. All right. So the picks again: Pavlyuchenkova -141 over Beatriz Haddad-Maia. She's a little worse than that now. Don't play it any higher than the -146 where she's at. Wang Xinyu +178. Over Ludmila Samsonova, you could still play her at the slightly less bang for your buck price. And then I actually got the worst of this one. You can get at a much better price on Fabian Morozan. I think it's closer to a coin flip than where I got it last night. So we got the worst of the CLV, one of those rare times where we didn't get the best of it here. Those are the 3 tennis plays. By the way, Zach Cohen has his tennis plays at VSiN.com as well.
Corentin Moutet is a cool name.
Corentin Moutet. He's French.
Yeah, that's a cool name.
Yeah. Kind of cool.
I got to give props to a name after we crushed a poor asterisk yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
You, I called you it felt a terrible
bad
first
it.
Name.
You
yeah,
felt
yeah.
bad about it.
I felt
it.
Bad. It's probably like a family yeah. name or something. That's terrible.
By the way, these pronunciations remind me of my first year in Spanish class, seventh grade Spanish. We were going around conjugating verbs, and this kid, Del Outman, was sitting next to me, and the teacher, you know, going around, you served, you did whatever, you know, imperfect tense, whatever. And he goes to Del Outman, and the teacher goes, we worked. And Del Outman looked around the class, and he goes, he's thinking about it. And he goes, and he was so sure of himself. And he goes, with a smile on his face, he goes, Nosotros trabajamos. We died.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nosotros trabajamos. Oh, my God. It was fantastic. Anyway, so the big news in the NFL, J.J. McCarthy, he didn't tell anybody while this was happening the other night. Trabajamos. He didn't tell anybody that he kind of got hurt. And so after the game, he had a great performance, as we talked about, in the Vikings' preseason debut for the Vikings' first-round draft pick, J.J. McCarthy. Turns out he needs meniscus surgery. And the thing with meniscus is it's a blood flow thing. And so they don't know until they go in where and to what extent the meniscus is harmed. And so only when they go in will we learn if he is out for a short period of time or for the entire season.
It's always fascinating. I was hearing more about that yesterday, too. And it's they also all of that. Plus, because of that, they don't know how much repair work and what type of repair work is necessary yeah. till they get in there. So, it's very fascinating. And we have to wait and see, I guess.
We have to wait and see. And if he can't go, he wasn't supposed to start week one, but you did feel like he would start eventually.
Yes.
And so the Vikings depth chart, for those wondering, is Sam Darnold, as you know, as the number one. But then it would be, if McCarthy can't go, Nick Mullins, who, you know, it's like what a career he has forged yeah. as an NFL backup. Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall. Jaren Hall is your third string.
I was thinking about those guys yesterday yeah. because Vikings were kind of one of those teams I had circled to bet on look preseason because of that depth at quarterback. But, you know, you're kind of thinking all along, well, one of those guys isn't going to make it through camp, whether it's Jaren Hall or Nick Mullins, with them having both Darnold and McCarthy. But, man, both those guys probably will now. Jaren Hall might have just gotten another chance with the Vikings after we saw some pretty – what did he play, like three quarters last year or something in
right,
one of those games?
For like, a few quarters.
Looked terrible, yeah.
yeah. And then the other thing – well, first of all, does this make you feel differently about the Vikings? Sam Darnold was supposed to be the week one starter anyway, but it kind of makes me feel different about
does.
Him.
It does. Yeah. For me, it does.
Me too.
I'm not one of these.
Because I expected him to play at some point.
Me too. So, I mean, I've never been super down on this Vikings team. I also feel like there's others we've talked to that have been very high on them where I'm not super high on this team. But I think if you were high on this team this year, and by high on this team, I mean going over their win total, actually competing for a playoff
right.
spot, right?
Right.
I think if you were high on this team this year, you were thinking like we were that McCarthy's coming in at some point, right? I don't think that season-long handicap is based off of Sam Darnold.
No, and we'll see if it's season-ending or if he's only going to be out for a short period of time. But if it were season-ending, it would make me feel a little different about them. I'll tell you again, let's go back to 7 days ago.
But you're also right. Like, if he's out 8 weeks, does it matter at all? I don't know that it matters at all. It might have been the game plan the whole time anyways.
And we have to wait till the results of the surgery before we know any answers. What obviously mattered more in terms of your perception of a team, or at least to me it did, a week ago when you were off, I talked about the whole Brandon Ayuk thing with San Francisco. And at that time, Matt Maiocco reported that Brandon Ayuk, a framework was in place for a deal for the Niners with Brandon Ayuk with the Browns and the Patriots both. And then it was up to Ayuk to decide. And I mentioned, and I retweeted the video of me talking about it last week. I mentioned in that video, I'm like, but here's the thing about all this. The Niners and or Ayuk can still decide they want to make a deal themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like now a week later, it feels like cooler heads have prevailed. And that the only team out there where a quote-unquote framework is in place for a deal is the Steelers of all teams, not the Patriots or the Browns, but that the Niners and Ayuk may be closer than even that to coming to a deal themselves. And the reason that this obviously is big to me is because I went through this last week. The Niners window is this year and next year, period. Period, as the kids say. Right? That's it. Because after that, that's when you have to pay Brock Purdy. And once you pay Brock Purdy money, then you've got to make economic decisions elsewhere that are not going to have as great of a football team around you, right? This is what we always say about winning Super Bowls. Surround yourself with surround a quarterback who's overperforming on a rookie deal, or have a Hall of Famer. Well, obviously, Brock Purdy falls into the first category, and once that's over, uh-oh. So, I want you to lean in for this, Kelly. The object of all of this, you ready for this, is to win a Super Bowl. And so if you lose a piece like Brandon Ayuk, and a lot of people say, well, he's not the key cog in the wheel. You don't know. If you're not watching all 22, you don't really know the chicken and the egg on every play. You know, is he creating the space for Kittle and
right,
Debo?
Correct.
Or are they creating the space for him? We don't know this answer. I used to say that about when Kirk Cousins played for Washington. Is it DeSean Jackson creating the room for Jordan Reed underneath? Like, you don't really know unless you can analyze the push.
That's almost always been a thing with any great offense with multiple receivers, right?
Absolutely right.
It's both. Yes, they're all individually talented, but yes, they're also creating separation and space and distracting defenses because of their ability.
So I think given the window and given what the object of all this is to win a Super Bowl, and this just in, the Niners have still not done so with this current group, I think they'd be nuts to let Brandon Ayuk go.
Yeah, me too.
So
me too. It does. I mean, these reports are weird, right? Because we don't see this like in other sports. Like the fact that reportedly Steelers and 49ers have a deal in place, yet the 49ers and Brandon Ayuk are talking off to the side.
And I don't think, heart of hearts, I don't think he ever wanted to leave. He just wanted his money.
I just can't believe your first reaction wasn't like mine. And it was, sure, the Steelers, absolutely. Win total under the...
Kelly's walked off the set. Drew Dinsick is next. We'll give him Olympics victory lap. And his NFL thoughts next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Kelly, we're in town, so when you do contests, you don't need a proxy. But those that are not in town do.
Say what?
Yeah, man, it's true. And you know what we prefer? Winner's Circle Proxy. Here at VSiN, you can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy, now in its ninth year of providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including the 2023 Survivor and Million contest winners themselves. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's ultimate contest weekend from August 22nd to the 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner's Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to VSiN Pro, stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. Why are you looking at me? Oh, sorry. You're staring at me. We get tweets at beat of the book.
Golf notes over
sorry. Mr. Bomb Apple. Mr. Bomb Apple.
Mr. Bob Apple.
That's what he says. He says, gents, when is Todd coming back for content? Nothing makes me happier than Gil beating Todd up as he constantly interrupts. Also, Todd's announcer voices are gold. I also wonder if Todd resembles a younger version of famed comedic actor John Lovitz. Cheers. He also adds, thanks again for the tennis profits. I owe you a McMuffin when I'm out there for Labor Day. John Lovitz.
I don't know why that's funny.
That's the ticket.
They could be cousins. They could be cousins. I could see that.
What are you trying to say?
I could see that.
Todd Wishnev is who he's referring to, and Todd will be with us on the Megapod, on the Beating the Book Megapod, every week. Me, Todd, Will Hill, every Thursday, before every week, we're on with a rotating guest, some of the best names in the industry, doing week-by-week analysis on all the games. I was stupid good last year. By the way, we have our own contest, three plays a year.
Oh, yeah, that was funny last year, right? I mean, not funny, though.
Oh, I crushed last year.
You crushed. But then, like, so you got to extend it to five for Circa Millions. And
that's exactly right. That's where I was going. So if Circa Millions were a three-game contest, I would cash without question. But once it goes to 4 and 5, I fall off a cliff.
It's that fifth game every week for me.
That's the problem with those contests. That's why it's so difficult. So Todd says, by the way, since I was so good last year, he's like, fade Gilly. He's like, he's going to get crushed this year. That's his prediction. So we're going to do that. And I'm trying to convince Todd to do something additional with me. I can't really talk about it yet because he hasn't agreed to it. Todd is a tough guy to get to agree to stuff because, you know, he's big time. So we'll see. This is from Skateboarding is a Crime. Pretty sure it's Fabian Marochan. Sorry, I said Marochan. Apologies. Three Jack H3131 snagged a Diamondbacks number one seed this morning at 22-1. That's good, right? Who is your week one survivor pick? Have a great day, guys. I do not have a week one survivor play yet, but as far as the
Bengals.
The Bengals?
I haven't played it yet, but it's definitely on the short list.
Matt Brown pronounces Bengals incorrectly. The Bengals.
Did you get a tweet phonetically? Is that what that was?
Yes, a phonetic tweet.
Okay.
Said Marshall.
Well,
yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
By the way, see the Diamondbacks last night? They refused to lose. Down a run heading into the ninth. One out. Corbin Carroll with the triple, of course. Then a strikeout. So two down, man on third. A walk. So bases juice, two out, down one. And Jake McCarthy with a two RBI walk-off. And the D-backs win again. Yes, 22-1 is great. By the way, when I was giving the number yesterday on air, FanDuel didn't have it up for number one seed. Only DraftKings did. So I got a much worse number. I got 12-1. But it was 24-1. It was double at FanDuel. So I got a little of that, too. Not quite as much as I did on the 12-1. This is from Just to Follow Veasan, who I believe we met recently. My father-in-law played defense in the NFL for 7 seasons. I thought I understood the game and could watch all 22. All I keep learning every game we watch together is how little I really see. Your take on Ayuk's value is so spot on, we just don't truly know. He adds, maybe. We'll see. Maybe you're right. Maybe it isn't right. Maybe he's the product of it. Clone Bone. Earthquake starts. Kelly stiff arms Gil to get out of the building first. What does Kelly's arm swing look like now as he runs out of the building?
Oh, my gosh. Like,
getting
never
love
before.
You, Kelly.
Like, never. I mean, we're up here at that point. like Mario style.
Knocking folks out. All right, let's talk some golf. The FedEx St. Jude Classic in full effect. These are the 70 guys that qualify now. This is the first of the 3 tournament arc that is the FedEx Cup itself. 70 gets cut down to 50 at the BMW. Then we go 30 for the actual third and final tournament, which is always in Atlanta. What do you got here at the FedEx St. Jude, sir?
Yeah, I'm gonna start with a initial note that Matt Brown had right after we were done recording Long Shots, and he said, "By the way, guys, thank God Keith Mitchell wasn't in this field." And completely agree. Keith Mitchell, take the rest of the summer
thank
off.
God.
Work on the putter a little bit. Maybe we can come back stronger next year because your ball striking numbers were messing with my brain whole time.
This is a commentary on how much your model spits out, Keith Mitchell.
I'll have to go back at the end of the season and look at all my numbers. But for a long time, one of the few things that was working well beginning of the season were Keith Mitchell top 20s and Xander Schauffele top 10s. And then, like, the putter went from bad to, like, the worst thing on the planet with Keith Mitchell, and he became very difficult to handicap. So we'll start there. Thank you, Keith Mitchell,
Percentage of the audience, when we say Keith Mitchell, immediately thinks of former San Francisco Giant great Kevin Mitchell? 80%?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, probably. Something like that. So you hit it. We got 70 guys here. No cut events. We'll be all 4 rounds. Everybody hanging around. For this, my card pretty light this week. I do want to follow up something we talked about yesterday, though. This is usually always great to look at those. Remember we were talking about to win the FedEx Cup market?
Yes.
Oh, boy. I did a deeper dive into that, though, and looked at the points and the standings. Scheffler and Schauffele
are so far ahead.
A big lead. That, like,
as fun this year.
I am backing down a little bit from what I said the other day. I actually did bet Morikawa, but I kind of did it before I looked at that stuff too closely. Morikawa, along with everybody else in the field, would have to win, and they'd still be behind where those guys are in the standings. So I think
it was our biggest omission from that conversation.
I think that if you think that there's a guy that's going to win here over the next 2 weeks that's more of a long shot. Yeah, sure. If you want to play a guy in that market, fine, because maybe he's only starting two or three strokes behind Scheffler or Schauffele, but you have a 90-1 on him, great. Maybe that's the only way I'd consider it. This year, though, I'd probably pump the brakes on that market and kind of ignore it, unless you're just going with Scheffler. Scheffler's just going to win the thing, which he easily could, but you're getting not even money on that right now.
And again, part of that, for those who missed it, is in the third tournament here, it's a staggered leaderboard to begin.
Correct.
So you're already getting strokes.
Yeah, so really the if you were able to grab the third spot, like if you're already slotting in Scheffler, Schauffele,
you got a puncher's chance.
Yeah, but you knew your guy was 80-1,
right,
three shots back. That'd be
that's
cool.
A bet.
Yeah, but like, yeah. I don't know if you want like my Morikawa ticket at 16-1, three shots back. So as far as what I did this week, like I think if you guys are at home looking at stats modeling this event, this is actually one of the easier ones to look at. There's a lot of water. That's where the variance comes into this tournament. But otherwise, you're looking for premium drivers. Accuracy off the tee is going to be a big-time thing this week. You need heavy approach. This is one of the most approach-correlated courses on the PGA Tour. So you're looking at guys that are great with their irons anywhere between 125 to 200 yards. Really important proximity ranges this week. You got small greens around the green play is going to come into play. You're going to look at guys who can scramble and around the green a little bit. I didn't really look at putting too much this week. You got smaller greens here. These are always talked about as some of the easier greens to putt on. So I kind of knocked all my putting stats out of my models this week. So really, again, really, really looking at accurate drivers, good approach players. Colin Morikawa is my only outright bet this week that I made. I think that there is so much win equity at the top of the board at this point in the season, Gil. I know we talk about that a lot, but how well Scheffler, Schauffele, Rory, especially those three, but I'll even throw Morikawa in there, how well all four of those guys have played and have done it pretty dang consistently
yes.
the entire
yes.
year. It is tough to argue in a 70-man field with no cut that one of those guys isn't going to be around there at the end of the week. I think is tough to go against. So I'm only going with Morikawa, one outright play for me this week. Shop around. I got 14-1. I played him in the outright market at 14-1. I also played him 11-1 without Scottie Scheffler. So you're going to see a lot of 12s out there. If you can go 11-1 and knock Scheffler out of the market, I think that's a no-brainer, and you bet that as well. So went Morikawa outright and then top 10. And then top 20s on a few guys I like this week. Corey Connors, I've been betting a couple times here recently. His game's really come around this summer. T9 at the Olympics. He's got 8 straight top 30 finishes going back before that. And at this course, T6 and T28 the last 2 years, so has played pretty well here. Like a top 20 on him. Like Tom Kim this week as well, played him in top 10 and top 20 markets. 8th at the Olympics, couple good runs here over the past couple years as well. Sung J.M., I'm interested. That's a smaller bet for me on the top 20, but his game's been turning around a little bit. And then some matchups, Brian Harman over Jordan Spieth, Tom Kim over Russell Henley, and Tony Finau over Billy Horschel.
Love it. Love it.
Which I think I'm going to add to that one this week.
You love yourself some Billy Horschel as well. Not quite as much as Keith Mitchell.
I like Fade Billy Horschel. I don't think.
Oh, really?
He's had a couple good tournaments in a row here, and I don't think it's going forward.
Will Hill joins us on the other side with all his bets. He, of course, is the host of the Wish I Had Wagered an Additional Mount podcast, but now I have regrets. That's on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Steve Fezzik doesn't need a proxy because he's in town. But if you're out of town, got to come here before the season to sign up for these. But then once the season starts and you're back to your house, back wherever in the United States or beyond, you need a proxy. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy partner. You can join the Circa Survivor and Circa Million contest featuring $16 million in guaranteed cash prizes with only one trip to Vegas before the NFL season kicks off. Winner's Circle Proxy, now in its 9th year, providing trusted proxy services to top contest players, including both Survivor and Million winners last year. Plus, don't miss out on Circa's ultimate contest weekend from August 22nd to the 24th. It's packed with exclusive events, room discounts, live broadcasts, and more. Winner's Circle Proxy clients will get special perks like monthly access to VSiN Pro, stadium swim passes, free drink tickets, and cool sign-up bag stuffers. So head over to winnerscircleproxy.com now and book your appointment. Again, that's winnerscircleproxy.com, VSiN's preferred proxy partner. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang out with us. What did I want to say about this? Oh, remember that documentary? Did I talk about this yesterday, Kelly, at all? The documentary that's supposed to come out about last year's Survivor contest, remember?
We started talking about
it. We started, and then we just went off.
Because I don't know that you,
yeah.
Well, I heard you say those words,
no, it's so
that
funny.
It is coming out.
So I said, it is coming out, and I said...
I feel like you guys shot like 3 of them for like 400 hours and none of it got used.
But. Brian Musburger says to me, he goes, it's either going to be on Netflix or on VSiN. He said,
no difference there.
That's what he said to me. So we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing Todd Wishnev is part of it. So I'm excited to see his.
Same audience size, both of those websites.
Either Netflix or VSiN. Steve Fezzik, kind enough to hang with us. We talked week two preseason about the Dr. Bob thing, which is if you're coming off a loss versus if a team coming off a win. Steve, if you could repeat those five games, because we did them real quick at the end.
Cleveland, these are the teams. So these are your betting teams. So the Browns, Washington, Carolina, the Chargers, and the 49ers. Now, I always have a personal bias with this trend to play the underdogs, and that, of course, would land you on Carolina and the 49ers.
Okay, Carolina and 49ers. The other three were Cleveland, Washington, and
the Chargers.
The Chargers, but Carolina and Washington fit your optimal. Okay.
I'm always trying to like reverse engineer the Dr. Bob secret subset. You know, well, seems like the dogs were more, you know, powerful.
He's the guy. Just for those who don't know what Steve is referring to, he will give you a set. From again, he has the Buckeye database. So Bob does his handicapping two ways. In tandem, one is his mathematical model, which is all his layers that he's put together through the years, taken in, taken out, like tried and true. And then he does what he calls, pardon me, technical analysis, which is a fancy way of saying trends. And most people, and we're not a trend show, but most people, they get upset about trends. But Bob has the Buckeye database, which goes back to 1978. And some trends, nothing is black and white. Nothing is 100% on this. Some trends make intuitive sense. And when you talk about preseason from week one to week two, that actually does make some sense. And so we like to highlight it. The other thing we referenced you earlier in the week about week two is you texted this immediately. You banged all the overs.
Yes.
Explain.
Well, two things going on. So I know week two in preseason pre-COVID, and it should be post-COVID, is going to be higher scoring. It just makes sense. The defenses are ahead of the offenses, and oftentimes the starters don't play at all that first preseason game, or at most they play one series. So what's this? I wake up all groggy Monday morning, and I'm looking at the totals, and they're anywhere from 33 to 37. I'm like, it's just too low. Now, subsequently, I did the research, but I didn't have time to do the research. So I played every game over because I was busy. And I was like, the numbers are wrong. I'm just going to hammer it. And so I got down, but I went back and looked. So last year, there was the point of demarcation was 39.5. Half the games went over 39.5. Half of them went under 39.5. This is week two preseason. So think about this. Even with these totals having risen up, every total now is still sub 40. Every single one. They vary from 33, the Charger game, up to 39.5. Half of them went over the 39.5. Now, there were four that were fiddling in the middle, 36, 36, 38, 39. And there were four of the games, one-fourth of the games, just dead nut unders, 32 or less. So the bottom line is, even at the current numbers, with the new kickoff rules, which I personally have forecasted, it's going to increase scoring, not 3 points, but by 1.5 points. I heard you talking to Drew about this. The field position is going to be significantly and help the team, you know, receiving a kickoff. The problem with that is that even if you say it's worth an extra third of a point on that possession to get the ball in the 30 on average or close to it, and you multiply by 10 kickoffs, you say that's 3.3 points. Well, it's only worth that if you score on the drive. If you punt, it's a negative expectation because now the other team gets worse field position. So you really have to dial that back considerably from that 3.3.
Okay, so this is a nice little preseason microcosm. But once we get to the regular season, again, we talked to Drew about this earlier. How many weeks, assuming you feel like it's going that the books are not going to be up to snuff right from the beginning on this, how many weeks do you think it will take for the market to get in line with what totals ought to be?
What a great question. And I have to caveat the answer. It depends. And what does it depend on? The preseason this week and next week, because we've had a situation where almost 75% of the games went over the total week one preseason. I'm under the total. We had a very low scoring first week. If that happens again, the books are going to be very slow to catch up. All right. If we have like all heck breaks loose, which I hope it does this week, and we have a really high scoring week two of preseason, you're going to see pressure on a lot of the games week one of the regular season, and they're going to start to get hit over immediately.
Okay, so that then begs this question. Would you rather cash big this week doing your overs, or would you rather take a smaller hit just so that you can exploit it greater come regular season?
I'd rather take the money right now.
And
here's why. The problem is that I agree completely with Drew, but I don't like banging week one and week two overs. It's historically, it's a lower scoring time in the NFL. I think the really clever way to get at this is look at these games of the year where there's totals up and bet overs in October and November. Now, yeah. I know you're tying up your money. By the way, could I borrow some money? I'm kind of all in with a whole bunch of bets already. But I think Drew said, I think if you played every game the first week of November over, I'm much more confident you're going to win than playing every game week one over.
It's going to be very interesting with this. Going to be very interesting to see.
Books were slow to react, though, last year, right, on when it was all the unders coming in, right, Steve? I mean, that was pretty shocking last year when it felt like under every week we were seeing.
It's a great point about how it started last year. Also, remember there was and we hate to do this because we wait all year for football season, and so we feel terrible about making this comment, but remember early in the season last year, I don't know if it was weeks 2 and 3 or 3 and 4, but we actually came in here on a Monday. And it was kind of universally agreed, but I remember Drew was saying, oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. There was a couple Sundays where it actually felt like work watching those games because the games were so bad.
If I recall the Grand Salami where you bet the total points, it was like every week was going under week after, even into week 5, 6, 7. And to give the bookmakers credit, the public loves betting over. So it's not unusual just by even the pros are betting unders. They're still cleaning up. Parlay liability. Think about every parlay is going to lose on totals from the public, and they're just making profits left and right.
Did you want to tell folks about this? This is a little off subject, but you want to talk about exploiting promotions. Yeah, an experience.
And stacking promotions. I love stacking multiple promotions. Let me give an example. So I got back from Lake Tahoe. Love Lake Tahoe. So I went up there. I'm a 7-star at Caesars. So
the sky is so clear in Lake Tahoe.
Oh, the water's so clear. And so you get a retreat. And on the retreat, you get airfare up to $1,200. So, of course, the family flies business select, $1,199. They pick you up in a limo. It's all part of your annual retreat. So you limo. I mean, who needs a limo in Vegas? I mean, maybe Derek Stevens will send me one, but I doubt it. Maybe if I'm with GRP, you know, with George, he would. But I limo from Reno to Tahoe. Now, that is value. I mean, that's a good hour trip.
That's an hour drive. Wow.
Oh, at least. Yeah. And and you get a $500 food credit. So we ate at Hell's Kitchen and a Friday Station and a Sage Room overlooking the lake, you know, used the $500 up. But we're going there. All right, we're going to use a retreat. 10-time tier credit. I want to keep my 7-star. So 10-time tier credit. Normally, if you put through, you know, $20,000, you get 2,000 on a video poker machine, you get 2,000 in tier credits. Now you get 20,000 in tier credits again. So you stack. You do everything to take advantage of promos like that more than one at a time.
This is a personal question. I hope you don't mind that I'm asking in front of all these listeners. But does your wife ever say to you, Stevie? I assume she calls you Stevie sometimes. No, never. So as you say, Stevie, can we take a proper vacation where actual money comes out of your pocket as an expression of love to me? Like, enough of this exploiting, you know, the holes in the system so that we can enjoy our lives. I want a true expression of romance.
We went to Disney World in Orlando, and we went to Universal Studios in Orlando. So we had a mega super expensive vacation. Nothing comped.
Is part of this, though, what we were talking about earlier, where it's like, hey, honey, let's have this great trip because for the next 4 months, I'm not going to be available.
You know, the whale capper nailed that one.
He did nail that one.
He's on top of that.
But Stevie does have a bone to pick with the whale capper. We'll talk about that on the other side.
Oh,
it's a numbers game. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is a numbers game, live from Bar Canada at the D. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, and Steve Fezzik, the only back-to-back winner of the Hilton Super Contest in history, kind enough to join us. He's usually on Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Dustin Sweetelson. We're borrowing him here in the preseason. Well, first of all, I want to congratulate you. You went two entire segments without mentioning that you and I played tennis yesterday. We played two of what we call our sets up to 21. It was 17-17 in the first. I, of course, then coughed up the next 4 points, and Stevie beat me. And then
the win, bro.
Oh, it was really windy out there.
Wind.
And
he had to battle through the elements.
And Fezzik, because he's game theory, right? He got the good side on the second half of that. but then the second game, I had a match point on him, 20-19. And of course, I completely gacked it, and he beat me 20.
Is there any money on these games?
No. No. But he's what a gracious man. He didn't bring it up.
Yeah, he didn't.
He's about to be not gracious with some other people, though.
Before I do that, for all those who might be still not just young at heart, but young, I'm on the wrong side of 60. So every time I can play tennis with Gilly or my son, I appreciate it. And Gilly sees me like I'm slumped against the fence when I'm done. It's like I'm spent.
I asked him afterwards, when is the next time we're playing? He goes, I have no idea.
I go on the DL like after each match. So if you're still able-bodied and you want an excuse, like you're in your 40s, you know, it's like hey, you know, time passes you by, and when you blink, and all of a sudden you're not going to be able to do the things that you want to do. So take advantage.
Did Steve just say he's older than 60?
Yeah, he is. Look at that hair. God. Full head of hair. Older than 60.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Real quick before we get back to you, Steve, because I teased this earlier, MLB best record. You can actually bet this at DraftKings and other places. Dodgers are the short shot, plus 180. Yankees plus 275. Orioles plus 370. Phillies plus 450. Everybody that you would think would be at the top. The Guardians are plus 750. By the way, if you look at the current MLB standings, and again, just about a quarter of the year. We're at the quarter pole, almost exactly at the quarter pole as the teams round the bend here. If you look at the standings right now, it's kind of a scrum at the top. And now my computer's not working, so I can give you the exact numbers on these. But if I'm betting this, Kelly, I go deeper down and I go to the Arizona Diamondbacks at 45-1.
I fully endorse this one. And think about how good this is. If you could bet Arizona to win the division, and I imagine the number, Kelly, maybe you could look it up, is around 8-1. All right. If you told me right now, correlated parlay, you can parlay, or how likely is it if Arizona wins their division, they'll have the best record in baseball? I would literally say 50-50.
I agree.
Somewhere around that, because if they catch the Dodgers and they beat the Padres, they're going to be like 20. It's going to take like 24 games above 500. And I think that's going to be sufficient to beat the Yankees and beat the Orioles and beat. I don't think any of these teams are going to get. That's kind of the baseline of where they're going to get to, like 96 wins.
Absolutely. Right now. Yeah. It's Dodgers 71-49. Sorry, Kelly, were you about to just say this?
No,
I'm sorry.
8-1 to win the division. You were spot on with that, Steve. And then they have the 11th toughest remaining schedule.
11th toughest remaining schedule. But here's where it stands now. Dodgers 71-49, Guardians 71-49, Yankees and Orioles both. Oh, excuse me. Yankees 71-50, Orioles 70-50, Phillies 69-50. Those are the best teams. You know what the Diamondbacks are? 68-53. We have a quarter of the season left. 45-1. Give me that.
I like it.
All right. Sorry about that. All right. So Drew came on earlier, and we were talking about Jaden Daniels, and you were not happy about this conversation.
Yeah, well, here's what happens. When you're in the media, you're paid to have opinions on things, all right? So Drew has an excellent opinion. Jaden Daniels was styling, played very well. He's on top of it. We want to be looking to invest in Jaden Daniels. Fantastic. And I know you just invested in Jaden Daniels.
I did. There was a stray number here.
Yeah, so you grabbed 7-1.
7-1, Jaden Daniels, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Now, there's been a move at a lot of books, and they're as low as plus 450.
Plus
and you asked Drew, is plus 450 okay? And this question gets asked in throughout sports betting media everywhere. And universally, the answer is, it's more often than not. I'd still play that.
This drives you crazy.
But that answer is wrong. It is wrong. It could be right if you bet 150-1 and still 120-1.
He just took a pen and put an X.
It was just an X.
And nobody could see
it. That's all you were missing.
Yeah. If you bet Goff MVP at 40-1, and is he still good at 28-1? Of course not. I mean, the bottom line is, if all of these other bets were that. Had such high positive expectation, the sports books would go broke. I mean, there's just the bottom line is that futures, my friend Brad Feinberg taught me this. Futures bets, actually, I used to poo-poo them. Mm-hmm. They're actually wildly profitable if you're on top of it, but you've got to get in and get the 7-1 on the Jaden Daniels the day after or right after he plays really well. You can't be playing plus 450.
And the point you're trying to make is that even if Jaden Daniels goes on and you know, midway through the season, let's say he becomes like this wildly big favorite and he ends up winning the Rookie of the Year, it is not the result that matters to what Steve is saying. It is the fact that if you exhibit that behavior, getting the lesser of the number over and over again, you will be negative EV over the course of everything.
Because the truth is Jaden Daniels probably has somewhere between a 15 and a 20% chance of winning. And given that 7-1 is outstanding and 4.5-1 is insufficient.
Yeah. I tried not moving it by, you know, going a little under a dime and it still ticked a little.
It's just, yeah, do you use your player's card?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, stayed incognito. Ooh. Also, Kelly and some Jeff Benson and his folks. They're watching you. They're paying attention.
I don't know. Moved a little bit. Moved a little bit.
Yeah. I caught a note from Steve the other day. I'm sorry. Were you finished?
No,
with
I'm
the,
done. I'm done. Yeah.
Conversation. On the Even Money podcast with Ross Tucker. Great podcast. Check it out. Steve Fezzik does it every week with Ross. Hey, Steve, what do you have the difference between Deshaun Watson and one Jameis Winston?
I have them right around 1 point.
Oh, I thought you were going to say absolutely nothing like you did on the podcast.
He backed off.
He backed off.
Okay. He took
some incoming on it.
Well, I actually looked up my numbers. So the bottom line is that they asked all the odds makers, and they had it at 3.1 points. And I was like, I'm not even sure that Watson's better, you know, than Jameis Winston. But certainly not. The line's not moving a field goal if Watson's not playing. I know he was fantastic at Clemson and in his rookie year, but he is like it's been years since I've seen him play good football, right?
Since we have you for another 3 minutes, is there anybody else you want to say something negative about that you wanted to kill?
Yes, I do. smartest guy in gambling, Rufus Peabody, tremendous sports bettor, not in the sports betting Hall of Fame.
Yep. Not in the sports betting Hall of Fame.
But I was talking to Rufus, and he said, "Oh, I just played golf at Angel Park, which is a locals' favorite, but it's like a value, not so nice." And I said, "But what now, Rufus? You're a 7-star. Why didn't you just play Cascada or Rio Seco? You're comped. You get to play, you know, two free rounds, you know, first half of the year and the second half of the year." And he had this sick look in his face, like he'd just eaten bad chicken. And he said, "What?" And I said, "Yeah, it's right on the website." And it's like, "Oh, I didn't know." So we got to work on Rufus's comp wizardry. But you know what? No matter how smart you are, Kelly and I were talking, and I'm such an idiot. I completely missed something in terms of, you know, a promo that we're doing together, and I just feel like the dumbest man in America because of it.
Yeah. Hey, we learned after time one.
What did Stevie miss? What did he miss?
Just some fine print stuff.
Oh, okay. So even you. Even you can miss something.
But it's nothing we would have known ahead of time. It was nothing you could have known
until he still didn't get it till you just told him.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the point is, and this is really, you know, going back to my man here, think like a pro, Logan Fields. There's stuff that's obvious that nobody does. And then once you learn about it, you're like, why haven't I been doing this?
You just try to buy it. It's out of stock at Amazon.
What's that?
Yeah.
I tried to buy it. It's out of stock at Amazon.
Monsanto has an extra copy. He's literally sending us an extra copy.
Ask Monsanto if he has Beyond Counting by Grossstein. It's like it goes for like $1,000 now. It's like it tells you how to beat like the big six wheel and three card poker and like exploiting casino misdeals of things. It's fantastic.
Last thing, 30 seconds. DraftKings came out yesterday and they said, by the way, did you get that straight email from DraftKings too? They were sending out random emails to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They completely had a glitch in their system.
Which I definitely didn't text anybody about and should have.
An email to like every human being that's ever been had an account there, even for us VEASAN with our contest.
How'd you
whatever.
Figure that out?
I saw in my inbox that I had some weird DraftKings email like, "Hey, that Dead Heat you were involved in." I'm like, "What? I can't even bet at DraftKings. What are you talking about?"
Yeah.
And apparently they sent it to thousands. But they decided, so FanDuel's not doing it. So DraftKings is like, "Yeah, we decided upon further review, we're not going to do
so
this."
So get this. After
3% thing.
After 50 years, so when you do a 3% surcharge, famously, it's like laying minus 113.6. So don't think about the minus 100. Think about like if you're betting to win 100, you're being charged $10 a VIG. That's been the case for 50 years.
Yeah.
50 years, and they wanted to raise it from $10 to $13.60. Shocker, that isn't going to work.
They're still going to try to weasel it into like same game parlays now, right? They should have done it quietly that way before.
Yes.
I'm sure they'll try that. Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure. Steve Fezzik, current Las Vegas Invitational champion, awaiting Todd Wishnev to show up so he can play him. Thank you. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the sports betting network.